here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You are a breath of fresh air. I can't wait to hear you again.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back. 203-333-9422. All right, one of my listeners is saying I need to watch the call for the Georgetown law professor. I have to see the tone and how she said it. This particular listener said, I don't know if she should be fired, but I also don't know if she should be teaching, just my opinion. All right, listen, when you see a transcript, it isn't necessarily the same as listening to somebody and seeing their body language. So I accept that with a grain of salt. Let's go to Cecil from Bridgeport. Hello, Cecil. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lisa. You know, I believe in free speech. You know, in a lady's opinion, she has a right to her opinion in terms of, especially when she was not saying it during working hours. You know, and the other thing, too, is that when Wayne was speaking about different things in the neighborhood, he has the right also, too, to speak about the things that he speak about. And I want to commend him for many times hearing him speak about the things he speak about. But I also want to say, pertaining to the lady about being robbed in the black neighborhood, and likewise, your mother was robbed a number of times in the black neighborhood, since we all know the days of things have been going on for years and years and years in the black neighborhood, it troubles me when I hear that we just now going to send 600 Americans to some part of Africa to make sure that they're safe. And I'm saying we as taxpayers are here being told and being talked about like we're not being robbed. My catalytic converter was cut off my truck a couple of days ago. And I understand it's being done to a lot of folks in the city, and a lot of them are black, white, Puerto Rican, Jew, what have you. And the question is, we get robbed every day, too. And the question is, we don't have no one that's able to speak about us concerns the way that they really should be spoke about. And because no one really hears us or gives us a platform to speak about what goes on, we likewise are suffering, too. So I want to say to the lady, I agree with her feelings. I understand her feelings. I understand your mother's feelings. And that should not be allowed to go on in America. With all of the money that we got, with all the power we got. And if we could spend this kind of money to deal with this problem that we're now dealing with that got us all living in fear about catching something, ain't no way in the world we shouldn't have been able to find the answer to the dealing with the neighborhoods that we're talking about that we are afraid to walk in. We're afraid.
You're right.
To work.
And you know what, Cecil? Not only are you right, but I should have said, and I should still say, that the majority of crime is black on black crime.
And
because
it's a shame
it's
we're afraid. We are afraid of our own people, Lisa. And that's a sad commentary. That even right now, as I look on Stratford Avenue and I look on Union Avenue, where I see the brothers coming out, hanging out in an area where they was told by the police department and by the city that the police would be there 24/7 to make sure that there's not going to be no trouble in that spot, because that was a trouble spot. Now, if you ride by there the last couple of days, you can't find no police in that spot. In that area. And yet and still, the brothers and sisters have nowhere to go, nowhere else to hang. And that's part of the hanging spot. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But if they were really doing real community policing, we wouldn't have to worry about, is somebody going to get shot tonight? Or is someone going to work or riding by going to Bridgeport Hospital going to get shot tomorrow or tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Those things should not be happening in 2021. We can solve these problems. We know what our problems are. At least I do. And I wish to God that I can get a chance to come on your program and talk about it. The last time when I was on there for about a few minutes, I wasn't able to really speak like I wanted to. But I want to let you know that the problems we're dealing with can be solved. And I know how to solve them in terms of what y'all just got through talking about in our neighborhoods. And I can show y'all that. I got evidence of that. Give me a chance, and you'll be seeing it in the very near future. I'm working on something real right now. You know, they said NOLA built an ark. Because they knew the flood was going to come and people had to be repaired. If they didn't get repaired, they were going to be lost to sea. I'm building an ark likewise, but it's not going to be a floating ark. It's going to be an ark where people are going to be learning about the importance of, yes, Harriet Tubman built and went through the underground tunnel, and she was uneducated. And she gave us the right to feel like we're somebody now because she's going to be put on a $20 bill. Yet we're free, but we're still living in fear. Probably not because of white folks, but because of black folks, Puerto Rican folks, and white folks who we put in power, who are not really responding to our needs, like the governor, like our black Senator Moore, and a number of other folks that look like you and me, that we oftentimes entertain, that are not really speaking truth to power. But we let them speak because of the power they have, when they don't really represent us. They are false prophets. But because we're not able to be heard, they continue to keep on perpetrating the fraud, and we begin to keep on saying, why should we vote? I haven't voted in the last couple of years. I don't plan on voting no more. I know the value of voting, but I'm not going to vote for none of them no more, black or white. Shame on me. But likewise, right, shame on them for knowing what they're allowing to go on in our neighborhoods, because it should not be the way it's going on with all the power we got. Shame on
us, sister,
to let these black leaders perpetrate the fraud that they're perpetrating to people like you, when you should be calling them out. You got the mayor on your show, you got the governor on your show, you got Bennett on your show, you got the NAACP president on your show. Call them out. I used to put me
on the show, sister,
and I'll call them out. Cecil,
all right. All right, Cecil, thank you very much. I want to go to our next phone call. I want to let other people in on the conversation. Let's go to George from Bridgeport. Hey, George, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lisa. I just want to collaborate just a little bit with what that gentleman says. I agree with him 100%. But who to be blamed? Who's running Bridgeport for the last 40 or 50 years? Right now, we have a mayor that he went to jail because he did something very inappropriate for 10 years, and he's back in office. So who to be blamed?
Who put him in office, George? Who put him in office?
I didn't.
Voters, right?
I didn't. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So who? You know, I'm from Bridgeport. I'm Puerto Rican, and I've been here 46 years. But, you know, the people of Bridgeport, with all my respect, they got what they deserve. Because why they put this man in office back again in office? You know, this guy didn't went to jail just because he took a banana. He stole from us. People in Social Security, fixed income. That's all I have to say. Well, okay? That's
George, what about George? Have you ever thought of running for public office yourself?
I wish I could. I don't have the skills. I don't have the skills. I got the willing to stand up to politicians when they do wrong, and I'm not afraid to tell them right on their face they are a crooks. But no, unfortunately, I don't have the education.
Let me ask you this, George. Are there any politicians that have run recently or that are thinking about running that you could support and get behind because you think they're honest and they want to do the right thing for the people?
Anyway, you ask me, I'm going to answer you. I was a very strong supporter of Mrs. Marilyn Moore, the senator. And you know what happened with the absentee ballot.
Yes, I do know what happened. Yes,
you know,
yes. And
fact,
the nursing homes, specifically
some,
with the nursing
some info
homes.
About that. Yeah. I provide some info.
Yes, are you the person that gave me the wonderful notebook back in WICC when we were in Bridgeport? I remember that. Okay.
Yes, that was me.
And
this is exactly what happening. This is, you know, Bridgeport is corruption. Look at the chief of police right now. You know, and I don't know. I just want to say this. Most of the people don't know that when Joe Gunning came to office, the first thing he did, he raised our taxes. And I don't know how he did it, but he breached his benefits. The average person doesn't know that.
He increased his own benefits? Is that what you just said?
I believe I asked a lot of people on a bridge, you know, like a grandfather, the benefits. Like he never left.
He might have been able to, and I don't know this for certain, but sometimes you can,
you can take advantage
of pension situations by linking service, even if it isn't consecutive. But it's not all the time. It's very, arcane law, and I don't know the answer offhand. But sometimes
you can. But this is what I have to say. In order for you to reinstate your benefit, you have 6 months. To come back to the city. That's a statute of limitation, 6 months. And you have to leave in a good term. You have to leave the office in a good term. I don't say anything else. You have a good day, Lisa. And thank you for taking
All right, thank you, George. All right, well, we've got some very passionate people calling and listening to this show who care immensely care about the quality of life in Bridgeport. You want to be part of the conversation? Give us a call, 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
From Norwalk to New Canaan, from Monroe to Milford, Fairfield County listens to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. We'll continue with our calls. Dorothy, I think from Ridgefield. Dorothy, welcome to the show today.
Hi. Actually, I'm near Sacred Heart in a condo, but I want to say bravo.
and I want to repeat, bravo. I've been listening. I listen almost all the time. You had Martha on the other day. Today you had a gentleman who, I'll just share really quickly, 1980, I just had become a realtor. I was invited to go to, it was back then called the Fairfield Motor Inn, and there was George Bush, and he was running as vice president. He took the time to talk to me and really touched me, his sincerity. So when he passed, I wrote a letter, a short one, to Barbara Bush, and I said,
wow,
thank you for sharing your husband with all of us. I never was the wife of a politician, but I was the wife of a physician, and I met him when I was in high school, so I went through all the training. Wives of doctors, wives of politicians, they really do share their husbands, and their children do, too.
Yep,
so
yep.
I can't tell you, he really touched me. I didn't get to meet his son personally, but I was in the Klein Memorial with hundreds and hundreds of people from, like, starting in Greenwich all the way down. But what I wanted to tell you about the other day, if I was talking to Megan, and I know myself, be careful what you wish for. I think that the interview, as Martha spoke to us, there were things that she might have been sincere about. A lady said the fact that she was blinking, this is Megan, she felt she believed her about the suicidal tendencies. But a lot of people have it. And I think when she explained to her husband how she felt, he probably was in a panic. And
panic.
I think that,
that's what I think.
Me too. And I think before he ever even met her, he confided in friends that he really didn't want to, you know, be part of the royal family, to put it bluntly. And I think that she and he together, and I've been there, you're codependent kind of, and mm-hmm. I think that hopefully, I'm praying for them and for the newborn baby hasn't arrived yet. Maybe they can just have a good life. However, being on national TV, and like they said, Oprah Winfrey met her mother before, you know, all this began.
Right.
Oprah's a very
right.
smart woman, and so are
That's
you, Lisa.
Right.
And I, God bless me, I'm going to knock on wood. When I was a realtor, we know. We know. People do things consciously, whatever, to make acquaintances, right?
Yeah.
And
totally.
I really do think that that played out on TV the other day. I didn't watch the whole thing. I really didn't. I feel sorry for Andrew in a way. And when his brother said the other day he's not a racist, I believe that.
Oh, you mean William? You mean
mm-hmm.
William?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
my heart goes out as a grandmother, you know, and I know that you're a good, caring, sensitive person. I really feel bad for the whole situation. But I want to say something positive. That 800 number was being showed on Monday, almost every hour on the hour, every talk show. And I think there was somebody out there who needed to call that 800 number for support, because maybe they're
yep.
thinking.
Somebody listening, know. That's right. That resonated with, and mental health difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I always try to be positive. The sun is shining. I want you to have a great weekend. And truly,
thanks,
bravo.
Dorothy.
Truly.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much. Keep listening, Dorothy, and thanks
I will.
For calling today.
I'm learning
thank
a lot.
You.
Every day I want to learn something, and you're helping me to do that, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, let's go to our other callers. We'll go to Ralph from Bridgeport. Hey, Ralph, what's on your mind? We want to keep the calls going, so I'm going to ask them to be a little on the short side. Hey, Ralph, welcome to the show.
Okay, very quick. I was going to wait until Monday to make this, because sometimes it's good to make a comment at the start of the show so others can weigh in on it. I just want to say, in regard to Mayor Ganim, I live in a condo on Madison Avenue in the north end of Bridgeport. My property taxes were $1,727 up until January of 2016. For years, Mayor Finch was saying he was going to have them reevaluated because he knew we were paying much more than they were worth. And in July of 16, Ganim had them reassessed. And since July of 16, I'm paying $427 every 6 months less. Now, I know it can't last forever. And also, the Bridgeport police at one time had unlimited sick time. And Mayor Ganim, in March of 16, cut it down to 15 days. He said it wasn't fair. There's a gentleman who wrote a book. I won't say his name because he may not want to mention it on the air. It's called No Black Heroes. He was a Bridgeport cop for almost 30 years. He was a detective. It was about racism in the police department. when Busey became mayor, this gentleman was brought into Busey's office. He showed him pages of officers out 6 months, a year, 2 years, getting full pay. He said, I want you to investigate this. He said guys were out with back injuries that were working in construction, getting full pay, officers. Well, do you know that his house got shot up? The book is called No Black Heroes. So those are two things Ganim did. I know that people in Black Rock don't like him because they were paying way less than what their condos were worth. But I just want to get that out. Thank you. And
it's good to hear. Yes, definitely mail it to me for sure. And Andrew will tell you how to mail it to me at WICC. But I would just say this, that it's good to hear. Look, we know a lot of people in Bridgeport voted for Joe Ganim. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten elected, regardless of what people think might have been last day election shenanigans. And I know about all of those reports, but at least in the general election.
But when he got in, I said, let's give him a chance. And like I said, we were paying way more than what our condos were worth.
So you're happy with him, Ralph. You're happy. You think he's doing a good job.
Yeah, and the thing is, he cut the police unlimited sick time down to just 15 days a year because of the abuses. And most mayors would never do that because they want the police behind them.
All right. Thanks, Ralph. I'm going to go to our next caller. Chris Caruso is on. Chris, I'm giving you his last name because that's how he introduces himself. And he's a former elected official from Bridgeport. So we need to know who he is. Hey, Chris, welcome back to the show. Hi. You've got 3 minutes, Chris. What's on your mind today? There's been a lot. Go ahead.
There really has. I just want to encourage a guy like George who called you. He was a constituent of mine, a very honorable gentleman. And, you know, he's concerned he doesn't have the skill set or the education. And, you know, I think when you run for office, the first skill you need is to care about people, your neighbors, people in your community. And George certainly has that. And, you know, if we're to better Bridgeport, if we're to improve Bridgeport, then good people like George need to consider to run for office and shouldn't shy away because, you know, he even stated that he's good to complain about what's going wrong, but frankly, he's got to engage people like George. That's the only way the city is going to improve. People who care, people who are honest, people who will do their very best to manage this city. That's the truth of it. And so I encourage a gentleman like him, and there's others in the city that need to step up and do the same. It's the only way Bridgeport will improve. I've been in public service most of my adult life, and I've learned that people who care, that run for office will do well. They have the passion for it. Don't need the education. Don't need the skill set. Need people who just care. And then from there, they'll learn and they'll listen to the people they represent and stand up for those people they represent.
So, Chris, do you think that Mayor Ganim's doing a good job?
You know, I don't, be honest with you. I didn't vote for Joe Ganim, and I wouldn't vote for him again. No, I think there's too many issues of transparency, of management style that just aren't there. And I just don't blame Joe Ganim. Frankly, this city has been mismanaged for a number of years. And that mismanagement has led to many of the problems we have today, Lisa. And it's nothing personal. I went to school with Joe Ganim. I graduated with him back in 1977. It's the ability to manage this city. And frankly, there are so many things not happening in this city that disgust me, that anger me, that disappoint me, that I just think we need a change. And we need people who really care about this town. You know, George raised the issue of the pension, and Mayor Ganim bridged his pension. So the years that he was in jail, you know, serving out his sentence, he reached back when he became mayor, and that time is now included in his pension. And, you know, to me, that's part of the problem. Whether the law allows it or not, it's just the underlying problem that we have with elected officials. That's why lose trust.
Chris, wait a minute. Did he bridge it in counting the time, or was he able to hook this time to prior time so that he got credit for all of the time? It's a difference.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You say tomato and I say tomato. Truth is he took that time period, Lisa, and he put that into his pension. It's unconscionable. You know, if you serve jail time, that time period, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. And now, does that mean the law should change? Of course. You know, when I was a legislator, I passed a bill that's a revocation of pensions. So if a public official, employee of the city or state, you know, they would have to, they could, their pension could be revoked. They broke the trust of the public. And it's the same thing with pensions, for example. Yes.
I need to wrap up because we're going to hear the music any minute. We're going to be cut off at noon. But thank you very much for calling. And thank you to George and Ralph and Cecil and Wayne and Donna, everybody that called today. I really appreciate it. And Dorothy, this is really what talk radio is supposed to be. The conversation of the community. And it will continue with Paul Pacelli from 2 to 6 p.m. today here on WICC and WICC600.com. And I'll be back behind the mic on Monday, hopefully feeling well. I'm getting my second shot tomorrow. So anyway, I hope you all get vaccinated and we can all be healthy and strong. Enjoy your weekend.